Yo. Yo. Freedom Fiends.
Yes, like you heard, it is Freedom Fiends live on a Saturday. It is June 8th. How are y'all doing today? I am Nima Vidotti. We've also got Michael W. Dean. We're a little bit closer today. I'm actually in the mountains of Salt Lake City up here in Utah. And Michael W., you're out in Casper, Wyoming. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. I'm in an undisclosed location in a rural mountain place in the west, in the wild Wyoming of the west. I can feel that you're closer, man. Yes. I can feel that you're closer.
You feel it?
It feels good.
You feel my energy?
Yeah, you used to live here. I liked it. I think you should move back here and get the house across the street for me.
You know, maybe one day. Me and the wife really loved Wyoming. We loved a lot of things about it. We loved the fact that you could just go out a few miles outside of town and you're almost in the middle of nowhere. Fresh air, beautiful trees. You know, statists are always like, man, without the government, you know, you'd have stinky clouds everywhere and you wouldn't have clean air and clean water. But there's not much government in Wyoming. And man, it's some of the cleanest air, most beautiful environment I've ever seen.
Yep. Speaking of which, we both went shooting this week without even discussing it or planning it in different locations.
Yeah.
I went out. I hadn't been in like 9 or 10 months. It was well overdue, and it was good. And I went by myself and just went out in the country. Basically took a bunch of the guns, not all of them, but most of them. Blew, you know, spring cleaning, like blew the cat hair out of them. Fired each one a little bit. Fired a few of them a bunch of times. Brought them home. Cleaned them. Sat in the backyard watching cats.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice, man.
I loved that description, blowing the cat hair out of it, because that's totally how I felt.
It's literal, though. There's literally, in our house, every surface and every orifice of every piece of equipment has cat hair in it. I vacuum.
Oh, me too.
I vacuum my studio like 3 or 4 times a week, and I open up my computers and vacuum in the inside of them about once a week and literally like pull cat hair out of them and blow cat hair out of them with a air compressor. And you know, the maintenance of keeping the Fiends a well-oiled machine.
Yes.
But you can't use too much oil because it attracts cat hair.
There you go. Yeah, I'm a big fan of the canned air. I use that to clean off the gun before I, you know, put it in the hip and go out and about. But yeah, yesterday I went shooting too because I was like, man, Michael got to go shooting. I should get to go shooting. It was kind of random. You know, we were driving back. We went to buy some cigars for a graduation party. Mm. And on our way back from the cigar shop, in the smack dab in the middle of where all the malls and places hipsters go, was a big building that said, "Get some." And it had a logo of two rifles crossed. And so we went in and said, "Hey, you guys got the range open?" And me and Frank just blasted the crap out of some paint splatter targets. It was fun.
Yeah, "Get some." That's a reference to the movie Full Metal Jacket, or maybe it's something from Vietnam. It's kind of disgusting. There's a scene in there where a guy is in a helicopter low flying with a machine gun, just mowing down peasant farmers who don't even know what war is going on or why. And he's going, "Get some, get some, come on and get some, get some." I don't know if that's just from that movie or if it's a thing that people did in the Vietnam War, but that's a great movie, by the way. I mean, man.
Well, that's not a fun title then, but I didn't know about that. I thought maybe it was like a reference to Duke Nukem, who was a video game character and a first-person shooter, and he would say, "Get some," or "Come get some," whenever he'd reload or find a new gun.
Yeah, so, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'll stick with that for my own peace of mind.
So you educated a member of your family about how the world works today. You're in Salt Lake City for your sister's high school graduation. You went to the graduation. It was great. You had the after party the next day at home. It was great. And then this morning you woke up and you didn't have coffee to do your radio. So
yeah,
you
said to your little sister, "Coffee in the house."
So you said to your little sister, "All right, now welcome to the real world. You're my intern. Go to Starbucks and get me some coffee, because that's what you're going to be doing. First job out of high school, probably."
Job training, baby. No, it's actually really cool, though, because she sort of already has job training. Her school is actually really cool that it offered this program where she could get her, like, nursing assistant's
degree
could get
or some.
Whatever. She could get some while she was still in high school. So she's already working as, like, a certified nurse's assistant or whatever they call it. So she can do that on the side and then go to the community college here, SLCC, S-L-C-C or something like that, and get her actual nursing degree.
Schlick.
So she's not getting coffee except for old people at a nursing home or something. I don't know.
So I have an idea for a show title today. Unless you got more of that. It's anything the left and right agree on is probably wrong.
Ah, that's beautiful, and it's true, and it's said really succinctly right there. And I've heard that concept before, and it's totally right. That the things that make the news are the stuff that each side of the aisle is disagreeing and yelling about and giving sound bites and making fun of their fellow congressmen who have a D instead of an R in front of the name. It's the stuff that doesn't make the news because they all agree on it. That's the worst stuff, like support for the NDAA, support for unlimited, endless war, support for spying on everybody all the time, the Patriot Act, all the really bad things. It's just a consensus because they're things that glorify and aggrandize the state and make all of them more powerful, because that's what they all really want, is more power.
Yeah, and speaking of spying on everything all the time, there's some news this week of, like, the government is listening to everyone's phone calls and everyone's upset about it. I'm like, that's news? I mean,
yeah, it's like, duh.
Duh. I mean,
seriously. Yeah.
You know, 2 years ago, there were articles about how the government was stealing a bunch of tax money to put up a giant, like, 50 billion acre building in Utah, or complex of buildings in Utah. A campus, I think, is what they call it.
A data center, yeah, I think they also called it.
With the express purpose of spying on everybody and recording every phone call in the world they could get their hands on, and recording everything over the internet, basically partially too, because if some of it's encrypted, maybe they can't decrypt it now, but maybe they can in 5 or 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if this is the case, but in my mind's eye, I just imagine warehouses that go on for miles that you can't see the end of them. And it's just stacks of rack mount servers collecting literally everything. Like it's in the movie Matrix, you know, they've got the humans plugged into the rack mounts and it just goes on as far as the eye can see. I can totally see that that's probably what's there.
The NSA is the only part of the government that listens to what you have to say.
You came up with that? That's pretty good.
Nah, I saw it somewhere. It's pretty good, though.
And thief. You IP thief.
Yeah, it's worth repeating, though. So is the joke that I thought Frank made up, that this should really be out there, is why did the libertarian cross the road, Nima?
I don't know. Am I being detained?
No, it's none of your business. Am I being detained?
Nice. Frank is a cop blocker through and through, man. We went to the bar last night, and every time I go to a bar with him, he just shows people his shirt and he talks to them about police and if they know their rights. It's like second nature to him. He just does it even when he's out supposedly having fun.
That'll be illegal soon. You know, the New York State Senate just passed a bill that made annoying the police a crime. Now, you know, the wording of it, it has some things of, like, you know, if you come up and punch a cop or what, it's like stuff that's already illegal, but they added, you know, annoying a cop, which could be interpreted as anything. I mean, if you say, come on, man, you really going to give me a ticket? I was going 2 miles over the speed limit. And they made this a felony. That's, you could get 4 years in prison for annoying a cop if this fully passes.
Yeah.
It hasn't fully passed yet, but
just passed the Senate. I guess I don't know how the New York legislature works, but maybe there's another house, I hope. And, you know, I assume the governor would then have to sign it. But the language of what you can't do to officer, according to the bill, is, quote, harass, annoy, or threaten a police officer while on duty. So, yeah, like you said, that is annoy. So broad. It could just be anything. It could be you looked at them wrong, you gave them the stink eye, and they don't like that. Or you don't even know the cop's there, and you're talking to your friends about
it. It could be nothing. Yeah. It could be the cop said, I'm annoyed by you, which is kind of beyond what they had in Arizona. In Arizona, it's illegal. Did that pass or not? I can never remember if these things pass or not, but there was a bill in Arizona to make it illegal to annoy or pester or threaten anyone over the internet. And annoying people over the internet is why the internet exists, isn't it? Cat pictures and annoying people over the internet. And
dancing baloney.
And there's people in Arizona who annoy me. Like the sheriff, what's his name?
Joe Arapaio.
Yeah, he annoys me over the internet. I mean, not personally, but whenever I see things about him on the internet, I'm annoyed. Can I call and
He also harasses people on a daily basis in these outdoor camps in the middle of the Arizona desert.
And humiliates them.
Where he makes them wear, just for selling drugs.
Makes them wear pink underwear to, like, you know, Haha, you're wearing pink. That's so, he's basically taking like grade school bullying to a level of I am king and can bully you.
Yeah.
You know, that's like something they would do to you in as a college initiation. Like you need to wear pink underwear and walk
hazing,
across the
yeah.
campus, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
He's made a
career out of it. I wonder if Joe Arpaio gets some kind of sick pleasure out of it. Like maybe he was hazed in his college days.
Well,
he's just trying to relive that vicariously.
I was hazed in high school and put in the hospital by it. And I've gone the other way. I've gone like, man, nobody should be hazed by the government or anybody.
Right. Right. And here's the thing is for what, you know, again, a lot of these are drug crimes, nonviolent drug crimes, just people trying to sell something to somebody else who wanted it, which goes back to the theme that we stated in our Wednesday cast, that that's really what the state is there's two people interacting and their interactions are limited by what the state says. They each want to be doing something or want to not be doing something, but they are forced by the state. And if they don't comply with that force, then they end up in some outside prison camp in the desert heat with Joe Arpaio.
That is so square, man. That guy's so square. So yeah, we're going to kind of tie this all together. We're going to come back with more. We got a little more time here, but there's so much tyranny, and we have a theme. We have an overarching theme and analysis of what's going on here.
Yeah.
The Obama thing. Talk about what Obama said the other day.
Oh yeah, this is awful. Okay, so Obama was giving a speech, and obviously all this Verizon stuff is blowing up. You know, there's a lot of scandals.
Have you seen the picture of Obama, the meme going around of him on a cell phone that says, "Hello, Verizon, I'm interested in your share everything plan.
Yeah, it's great. But okay, so I'm reading this on Breitbart, and you know, it's been on YouTube. Blue Rockwell's also posting it. But here's the direct quote, according to these folks. Barack says, "If people can't trust not only the executive branch, but also don't trust Congress and don't trust federal judges to make sure that we're abiding by the Constitution with due process and rule of law, then we're going to have some problems here."
Oh, man.
We're going to have some problems here. Gee, you think, Barack?
It sounds like a threat.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't comply, we're going to have some problems.
Right, right. Like he's cracking his knuckles and rolling up his sleeves. Like, we're going to have some problems here.
Hey, Rocco. you believe this guy? We're going to have some problems.
Yeah.
He don't trust us.
We're going to put the clamps to him.
The clamps. We'll be back with more analysis of tyranny and solutions for you and your loved ones when we come back from the market on the Freedom Fiends. I'm dancing. Yeah.
Fiends. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's BolaVPN at BolehVPN.net.
Yo, and we're back. It's Nima Vidati. We've also got Michael W. Dean.
Hello.
We are talking over the airwaves here. We are live. It is Saturday, and this is the Freedom Fiends.
Yeah, and I have a little announcement to make. Can't say the name of the station yet because we have to announce it on the air tomorrow, but if there's anybody listening streaming in Wyoming, Montana, North Dakota, or South Dakota, check out the Freedom Fiends blog. We're going to be on a very powerful station starting tomorrow, so you can listen on radio. Yeah, and if you go to the Freedom Fiends blog, you can also see the wonderful gear porn post I did with pictures of the antennas of stations we're on, because I'm just that much of a geek that I love being plugged into this amazing network, and I actually like the physical aspect of it. So I looked up as best I could find pictures of the antennas of the stations we're on. The five stations we're on starting tomorrow. And posted that.
I love how we're picking up stations all across what some people like to call flyover country. The places that aren't coastal, aren't super urban, but where people, you know, they're a little bit more self-reliant. They don't buy all of these silly things about how the government should provide everything to you and how they should control everything and keep everybody safe. Because these people live their lives without having to deal with all that. So they never fall into that illusion that the government is their mommy and their daddy and their nanny.
Nanny state. They should call it the daddy state and the mommy state instead of the nanny state, because
daddy and mommy state.
People, I think a lot of people have gone beyond expecting the government to be your nanny, which is, you know, basically a babysitter until someone else is around. But they want it to be the mommy and daddy too, and have that that lusciousness to suckle at, the supple suckleness of sour milk, of tyranny, of the whenever you get something for free, it ain't really free, and it ties you with a leash, and it gets tighter and tighter and tighter. But there is a solution, and we're going to get to that in the second hour, the freedom that comes with the plan, the Peaceful Fiends plan. But let's talk more about the problem now. So what did Obama do this week?
Well, let's keep talking about that, but I'd like to tie in what you just said about the mommy and daddy state. You know, there are kids that have parents that they end up not being able to trust after years and years of their parents doing things like, not abandoning them, but neglecting them, going out and partying when they shouldn't be, doing drugs, cheating on them, or cheating, you know, as far as taking money. You know, if one of them is a single parent and gets the check and spends all of the welfare or child support check on a new car or an outfit, those kinds of things. Then the kids start to not trust their parents anymore. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's just my mom. And they move out and they don't really have a good relationship. And so Obama says all these things about how, you know, well, you should trust the executive branch. You should trust Congress. You should trust federal judges. But each of those three branches of government has not earned our trust and has repeatedly done horrible things that you shouldn't, that should make a reasonable person not trust them. I mean, let's start with the executive branch. Well, there's the drone program. There's indefinite detention. You know, the federal government, the executive branch of it, will throw you in a cage and not even care. You know, how can we trust something like that, especially when it comes to spying and surveillance? If they decide for some arbitrary reason that you're a threat, they now have the power to just throw you in a cage and force feed you inshore and not care about the consequences and not care about having any evidence against you. And even if they do decide to clear you for release, like some of the people in Guantanamo, you'll still stay there if it's politically expedient for them. And then, of course, the drone program, they'll kill American citizens for no reason, no trial, no arraignment, no evidence, and won't say anything, no due process of the law, like he says, that they're abiding by. Congress, what did we do? We did a show where their approval rating was 6% when we let that out. That was months ago, almost a year ago now. People don't trust Congress. Congress passes horrible laws, and the left and right get together, and they put each of the worst things in the bill, and the bill just this big mess of a bunch of glommed on things that half of the country won't like. And so you get a bill that nobody really likes.
Yeah, and the longer drugs are illegal, especially weed, which everyone knows who's tried it, it doesn't make you crazy. It doesn't make you kill people. It doesn't lead to harder drugs. You know, but the longer that they keep that illegal and keep really hammering on people for that, the more people are going to look at the government and say, you must be wrong about everything else. And the same thing, the real thing that's making them look bad to everybody, especially young people, is clamping down on the internet, because there are so many young people who grew up with the internet their whole or most of their life. I didn't grow up with it. I didn't have it till I was, 30 or something or older. Right. And I really took to it. But the people that grew up with it, it's their window to the world and it's their freedom. And now that they're trying to clamp down on it, trying to tax it, trying to control it, taking down websites, it's really just making everybody go, man, these people don't know what they're doing. They don't have my best interest in mind. And we'll have more about this when we come back.
We sure will. Yeah. More on Congress, and then we'll move to the federal judges' tyranny. It sucks.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Need to talk to people in a secure manner? Liberty Private Network sells phones that will work over any good internet connection and give you military-grade encryption for calls that cannot be tapped. Great for lawyers and clients, business people with trade secrets, or just ordinary folk who don't want their love talk spied on by some scumbag from the central scrutinizer. Call 516-TLK-SAFE on your non-secure phone and tell them the Freedom Fiends sent you. That's 516-TLK-SAFE.
Freedom Fiends. Freedom Fiends.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. That's us. It's the Freedom Fiends.
Freedom Fiends. The only radio show in America whose name is in Ebonics.
That's racist. That's racist. No, it's really not, though. And I always hated people who hate on Ebonics, man. It's a dialect, and linguists say and have proven that it follows rules of language. It's not just people who randomly don't follow the rules of English. It's its own dialect. So chill out, man.
Yes, experts agree. Yeah. It's a real language. Experts in California at state universities.
Well, hey. It's not experts agreeing because they feel like it. It's because it meets the markers.
I've seen the list. I've seen the list. And, you're brown, so you can say that.
I guess, yeah. All right, so back to throwing dirt in the face of Obama's argument here. Not the president himself, but
you're browner than Obama.
I guess he could say that. Oh, man. But, the thing about Congress, too, you were saying, young people, it's all about the internet, and Congress is doing a lot of things to limit and clamp down on that. And here's the thing is whenever people get really angry about, like, SOPA or PIPA or SOPA PIPA.
Delicious SOPA PIPA.
Yes, they might not pass it, but then they go ahead and take the worst parts of it and they rehash it into something else, and then they put it forth again. And then, it might be under the radar this time.
And then it turns out that they've been doing it for years anyway, and it just came out. I think a lot of what they're trying to do now, those people, is, those politicians, is, and Holder seems really big on this, is passing things into law that already have been done quasi-legally just to see if we can get it into law and if they can get into law and get away with it. I mean, really, like, a lot of the stuff that's coming out now was kind of vaguely allowed, quote unquote, by the Patriot Act, but now they just want to make it the law and make it the new normal. Speaking of the new normal, another tyranny thing, did you see the thing about LAPD having a terrorist training, not training, but like response drill in downtown LA where they were like, it sounds like a movie. I mean, they were like running around shooting at people. They had pretend victims and they were shooting blanks at each other and there was an explosion. I mean, it's like an action movie in downtown LA, but it's the police and it's real and they're not stopping to redo takes. I mean, I think they're trying to make that the new normal where people just on their way to work go, oh, there's a bunch of cops shooting people in the street and there's explosions and there's tanks everywhere. Yep. Okay. Yeah. Just don't see anything. I see nothing. And just go to work,
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, this LA thing, it's not precedent setting. They did this in Miami a few months ago. They did one in Houston. And, you know, sometimes I think in the Miami and the Houston one, they didn't warn anybody. You know, it was just people were driving to work and they see helicopters flying around with 50 caliber machine guns just blazing. And of course, they're blanks, but you don't know that. You just see, you know, a helicopter going to town.
Blanks can
kill.
What are
you, what are you supposed
man.
To think?
Blanks killed Brandon Lee. Blanks can kill.
It's just awful. And, you know, so no wonder people don't trust. And that's, of course, the executive branch there, like Obama says. But back to Congress. Do you remember when it was the big hubbub about the bailouts and everybody called their congressman and
call
the calls
your
were
congressman.
Like, yeah. And the calls were like 100 to 1 saying, hey, don't do this. You know, these big corporate banking entities, they don't deserve our taxpayer money. They made a mistake. Let them fail. And Congress went there and they didn't pass it. They actually did what the people told them. If you put on your statist hat, okay, that's the job of Congress. That's what we trust them to do.
Is to listen.
Is to represent us, supposedly.
The NSA but, listens.
Yeah, there you go. And so they didn't pass it, actually. But then the next day, you know, people came on, executive branch officials came on and said, hey, you know, if we don't do these bailouts, there's going to be martial law. One of the congressmen said, hey, I was told there's going to be martial law if we don't pass this. And then they passed it. No problem. They went against the will of 99% of the country. They passed it anyway. So how can you trust that as representation?
I don't.
Yeah, good. You shouldn't. And then federal judges, why should we trust them? They have completely gone against the spirit of the Fourth Amendment with this thing that they can now take your DNA as if they own it without a warrant. That's not apparently an illegal search and seizure. The most unique part of yourself, your DNA, down to the molecule, they think they own you instead of you owning you.
Yeah.
And so how can you trust somebody like that? Do you know anybody? I don't know anybody who trusts any level of judges. The traffic judge, people don't trust them. They think, oh, well, they're just going to they just want to get home and they don't care. And they're going to listen to the cop and they're going to rule in favor of the government every time, because the government is the one who pays their paycheck for their Lexus and their judge that they keep in their hip, you know, to protect themselves from the people.
Oh,
you're
talking
wronged.
About the gun called the judge?
Yes.
Yeah.
I am.
The Stato gun. There's a bunch of guns named with statist names now. There's the public defender. There's the judge. What else is there? There should be the city council. You know, I kind of like that Casper, Wyoming actually had such an issue with armed people open carrying showing up angry at city council meetings that they passed a law against open carrying at a city council meeting. I mean, is that
right?
And I'm not saying there should be violence or anything like that. I'm not happy there's a law, but I'm kind of thinking, isn't that kind of a telling thing of the times, of where those people want to do something to you so harsh that they have to pass a law of, you know, it's kind of like Blazing Saddles, like a bunch of the people in the crowd are stroking their guns, you know, like people show up here with their guns to meetings as a show of as a protest, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah. They don't want you to be disarmed. And, you know, people have done a lot of work on this that, hey, whenever the government decides to disarm you in any capacity, it means you
It means they have something really severe in mind coming up. Yeah. Yep. Uh-huh. Freedom Fiends. Yo. Where is my NEMA? Where's my Neminator? Where's
there
my Neminator?
I am. There I am. NEMA. Yeah, yeah.
I had to keep talking because if you go 6 seconds of silence, big alarms go off somewhere in Minnesota.
Yes.
I like that we have this whole thing set up now that we're a part of. Well, we didn't set it up. We're a part of it. We set up our end of it to where our talking is so important to some aspect of the world that if we stop talking for 6 seconds, alarms go off. How cool is that, man?
That's the coolest thing ever.
That
yes,
is. That's
yes.
like that's like a fantasy I would have had in grade school because I like talking so much.
Yeah.
So
the fiends aren't talking. alarm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, Government Square, and did you go through all the branches yet? I don't know. There's so many branches.
Yes, I went through the three, but he left a fourth one off here, right? The media, you know.
The fourth
people
estate.
Tend to say the media. They call the media, it's been called that. They call themselves that in journalism school. They call themselves the fourth estate. And, you know, people have made the joke that what they are really often is the fourth branch of government. And I think that's almost who he's talking to here. He's saying, hey, it's your job, media, to make sure that the people trust us. And we're going to have some problems. I mean, he's threatened the media with all of this kind of, you know, bringing him up on charges for aiding the enemy, for talking about what North Korea is going to do, even though it's historically. And the thing is, journalists are supposed to ask those kinds of questions.
And the media is throwing him under the bus, too. I mean, the Huffington Post just said that he's just said horrible things about him. And the New York Times just said that he's George Bush on steroids, which we actually said on The Fiends about 2 years ago. But apparently, I mean, I don't think they got it from us. I think it's just, it's obvious. You know, you just look at it. It's obvious. Great minds think alike.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, there's some interesting stuff going on here, too. And I wonder, I think it was Brian Wilson. I think that's his name. One of the big nightly news anchors now, who's always on the Jon Stewart show. And he's also on Jimmy Fallon sometimes.
He's on 30 Rock. Jam the news. Playing himself.
He's on 30 Rock. Yeah, he loves to be on TV. He loves to see himself on TV and have people laughing at him like he's
nice
a TV
story,
star.
Nice story, Jack. And I hear my Not name in it. Yeah. Yep. And Nima seems to have gotten droned again. I don't know what's going on, so I'm just going to keep talking. So there's Nima, we got you back there. So the report this button on Facebook, you know, it's kind of funny. I was listening to some grizzled old cowboys in a bar in a small town in Wyoming, and they were talking about some beef on Facebook. Like, yep, did you hear about that beef on Facebook? And there's a report this button on every post on Facebook. And what if people started using that to report politicians? Like, you know, whenever politicians do something, I mean, when you boil it down to the basis of what it is, they are initiating aggression just by being politicians, right, Nima?
Yeah.
So what if you reported them on Facebook? Just hit the report this button.
Well, that's the whole essence of the state, though, isn't it? That's what you rub up against, and it's important to show people that's at the root of it, what the state is. It's they don't have to follow the rule of the law. They can get away with whatever they want to get away with. So, they can do all these things. They can threaten violence. They can threaten tyranny. They can threaten kidnapping. And, hey, they're the state, so you can't call them out on it. You know, not in polite society, at least.
Yep.
But we're not polite society, so we can do it.
So the basic thing that this is coming down to, I mean, we could list tyrannies all day, and that's pretty much what most talk radio does. And they usually complain about one party or the other. We complain about the whole system.
Yep.
And the thing that this boils down to is I really think the most cogent analysis of what's going on and what's going to happen in the near future is what Cody Wilson said. The printable gun guy, Cody Wilson, said on the first Freedom Fiends radio show, we interviewed him and I asked him, you know, where do you see the future going? And he was really clear and concise in a few sentences and basically said, I think government is becoming more and more and more irrelevant and more people are seeing it. But occasionally they're going to crack down with hyper violence on individuals or groups to make a point. That's where we're headed and that's where we're at. But that's going to get more in both directions of that.
Right. I also had a thought today that I really wanted to stress is just because you still go to work and you can still go to Starbucks and you go home and you can still see your family doesn't mean we're not living in some dystopian science fiction future. It doesn't mean we're not living in a horrible tyranny. I mean, people in Iraq, even at its most war-torn, a lot of them still went to work and a lot of them still came home and ate dinner. Just because you get to go through your daily motions doesn't mean we're not in a tyranny. You know, in the movies, you don't see that because you have an hour and a half.
It's always apocalypse. Yeah.
Right. The only interesting bits are the parts where there's battles or wars or heated dialogue. That's the only thing you're going to see in the movie. But in real life, there's a tyranny and you can still have your normal daily chores and daily things. But that doesn't mean you're not in a tyranny because we are right now.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Tyranny.
Tyranny. Today. It's here today.
Tyranny
That's the point.
Today.
Yes.
We used to have a little bump for that. A little musical interlude, but Frank said that he missed that stuff, that he really wanted us to go back to all the morning zoo crew kind of crap we used to have. But I don't know. Do we need that? Do we need that? We're just talking, man. We're just two guys talking here. Is that dangerous?
Well,
does that need to be prettied up?
I don't think it was the zoo crew thing that he missed. I think it was the segment, because segments are easily rememberable, or they're memorable at least. You know, if you have a segment, it's a nice chunk, it's succinct, and you can say, hey, on today's Tyranny Today, I heard this, this, and this.
These kids today, they need things prepackaged and put in little boxes. The Fiends ain't like that,
I don't even think
that,
it's
man.
That. I think it's just how the mind works. You
it's
know,
not how my
why.
Mind works. My mind works in conocentric parentheticals, and I've got 30 seconds here to tell you about how the UFOs are going to come save the fiends, because we'll talk about that when we get back, because I hear music.
Excellent cliffhanger.
I hear some rocking.
Yeah, don't come a knocking. Just stay listening on the fiends.
UFOs will save us. Coming next.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Inoculation from indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Yo. This is the Freedom Fiends. This is Michael Dean broadcasting from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural mountain west of Wyoming. How you doing there, Nima Vadati?
I'm doing very well. I'm in the suburban mountain west of Draper, Utah. Yeah.
Yes, the Salt Lake City region. Yes, you're not in your usual Austin-ness. So I teased in the last segment about how aliens are going to save us. Now, we're not turning into coast to coast here for a minute, but why not? You know, I was a part of this program that helps you get off drugs and alcohol that says that you have to have a higher power of your own understanding, which basically is it's a way for agnostics to participate in something that's spiritual, I guess. So they tell you can come up with your own thing. And the people who... the people who relapsed were the ones who generally had Aerosmith or a doorknob or as their higher power. But, you know, one guy I knew stayed sober who was a surfer, and he had the ocean as his higher power because he said the ocean is bigger than me and it can hold me up and support me and keep me afloat. And I like that. So that was, you know, that was good. And so there's some spirituality to surfing, I think. It's kind of a one with nature and sort of having a little control over something where you don't really have any control. And, you know, nature makes its own rules and man tries to make its plans and God laughs, I guess. So I am talking about the great man theory here a little bit. Like, basically, here's the thing. We're on a 50,000-watt station. We're on some other stations, too, but we're on a 50,000-watt station, which is pretty much the biggest AM station in America, that wattage. There's not very many of them. And then we're starting tomorrow on a 25,000-watt FM station. So I did some research, and signals from those two wattages of those stations, especially in the regions they're in that are unpopulated, they're not that populated. They don't have a lot of interference. They're not unpopulated. I mean, it's not just cows listening to us. There are a bunch of humans. There's big cities in those places. But this does broadcast into space. Now, if humans can hear signals from space generated by stars exploding millions of years ago, and it takes forever, you know, it travels at the speed of light, radio waves do, in a vacuum, you know, 186,000, give or take, miles per second. So we're talking about things really far away that are really faint. And when radio signals go out, they spread out like ripples on a pond. So every time you double the distance, it gets a lot weaker. But human beings have the ability to hear these radio waves from space. So if there's an advanced technology civilization out there, I'm sure they can hear us, but it's not going to get there any faster than the speed of light. And the nearest planet that is outside our solar system, we pretty much know that there is no life on any of the planets in our solar system. We've sent things near them too. Not that we can see.
It's pretty close. Yeah. At least intelligent life. Yeah, there could be bacteria under some of the moons of Saturn or Jupiter.
Right.
You know, underneath the crust where there's liquid water and stuff.
But they can't save us. So I'm thinking, you know, if the possibility of that there's intelligent life in the universe other than humans, I think is pretty good. Just if you look at the math of how many planets and how many solar systems and how many galaxies are out there. And I think it's possible that one of these civilizations will hear the Freedom Fiends, and then finally they'll go, finally, okay, there's intelligent life on that planet. We thought there wasn't, you know, because they've been listening to all the other media in the world. And
Glenn Beck.
So they hear us and they go, there's intelligent life, and they've got it right. The fiends have it basically right. We're going to come down and give Nima and Michael our advanced technology and let them become the libertarian emperors of the world and then save the world. We're going to save the world. So everyone will have lib pair. Courtesy of Nima and I, we'll have the final say, which is total irony and it's a joke because that's not how libertarianism works. But I do entertain this fantasy and I'd like to see it happen. So the fiends have to stay on the air for at least 5 more years because it's going to take 4.7 years for our signal to reach with these giant sticks, as they call them, these flamethrowers. That's the word for very powerful radio stations. And sticks is the antenna, but it also means the station. So these giant sticks, it's going to take 4.7 years to reach the nearest possibly inhabited planet. And then, you know, they could probably travel faster than that. So they can get here in a third of a year and or just email us their advanced technology and we'll save the world.
There you go.
Yeah. So that's my plan. But what's our real plan, Nima?
All right. Yeah. So, I mean, the real plan is not a top-down solution like that. It's horizontal, man. It's letting everybody know that the state is the problem. And, you know, they know it more and more, and it's easier now because you can point to things that are actually national media scandals, and you can point them out, and you can draw the lines and connect the dots and say, hey, here's what the real problem is. It's the state. So when you go for solutions, they shouldn't be solutions that are also the state. You know, you don't throw gasoline on a fire. That's not a good solution. So we'll be back with more of that on that same tip after we go to the market here. This is the Freedom Fiends live. Worms.
Yeah.
Would you like to advertise your product or service to a large built-in audience of liberty-loving consumers who truly dig the free market? Freedom Fiends is now selling ad space. Slots are reasonably priced, but limited, so contact us today. Write the Fiends at talkback@freedomfiends.com. That's talkback@freedomfiends.com.
Worms.
Yes, welcome back to Hour 2 of the Freedom Fiends Live. It is Saturday, June 8th, and you already know what it is. We're going to start off the top of the hour, sort of tying up a point we made at the end there, but it's new to you if this is the only hour you're getting. And the point we were making was that, you know, aliens coming down from on high and saving us from ourselves is not a real answer. Neither is begging the government to be less tyrannical. That's not the answer. Or voting, which is basically the same thing. It's praying to the powers that be on high to not be so powerful anymore. And I got news for you. Lord Acton was 100% right when he said power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So asking the person who has ultimate power over you to please be a little bit nicer, what you're doing is you're putting the ball in his court and putting it all on his mercy, of which he obviously has very little to none if he's achieved that type of power.
And it's kicking God off the throne. If you believe in God and you are putting a great man in charge of your life by voting or believing or saying this guy can save us from that guy, you are kicking God off the throne. And that ain't very good.
God, and if you're not a theist, if you're more an atheist or an agnostic, you know, there's one obvious higher power that I think everybody can agree is a higher power than us and should, and maybe that'll help them get the point, and that is the natural order, right? The periodic table, molecules, everything that creates the natural order is actually a higher power than us because it's organized the whole universe, the solar system, the sun, nuclear fusion that heats us and fission. You know, all of this stuff is inherent to nature. It's its own power, and it knows what it's doing more than we know what it's doing. And it may not be conscious, but still, it's a powerful thing. And the market, the human economic market, is just an extension of that. It's an order that arises naturally.
Yeah, and if you are an atheist or an agnostic, but you believe the government should save you and do everything, you're not really an atheist or agnostic because you are believing in a higher power. You are what we call a statheist, which is a statist atheist, and it's a contradiction, man. Obama ain't God. Hey, Ron Paul ain't even God.
And, you know, Stefan Molyneux has some really good takes on this, and he is himself both an atheist and an anarchist, and he was recently on an atheist show who are still stuck in their statist mindset, and the way Stefan Molyneux put it, he did a post-mortem show, a whole show about what went wrong and where those guys were wrong, because they wouldn't let him get a word in edgewise, and they would yell at him like and scream and throw hissy
like
fits.
Ben did that for me when I had my verbal duel with the state-loving leftist on his radio show and put it on the internet. Right. And Ben did a good analysis of that.
Right.
Analysis.
Well, and here was the succinct thing, I think, that Molyneux said in his postmortem. He said that, see, what they're doing, what these statheists, you know, these atheist statists are doing, is they're repeating catechisms. That's what these, well, who would build the roads? Wouldn't we all have poison food? Those are catechisms. Like in the Catholic Church, you have a set response where people bring up something that challenges your beliefs or something, you know. Yeah. In Mass, that's how a Catholic Mass works, is the priest says something and then the whole congregation repeats back the catechism. And that's what these statheists were doing. And it doesn't just happen on radio shows. You know, that happens in our day-to-day interactions when you bring up something as a libertarian and say, well, you know, maybe the government should just get out of the way and let the market take care of it and let free individuals voluntarily work things out. People say, well, who would build the roads? That is a catechism.
Nice, nice. And power is like catnip to the bad cats of the state, I would say. So going on to more fun things, I think we've sewn that up and told everyone how the world works. And hopefully in 4.7 years, the aliens will hear it and be the great men to come down and save us for finally realizing that there's intelligent life on this planet. But someone asked, we're talking about higher powers of your own choosing. Someone asked if Indian food can be their higher power of their own choosing. And I said, sure, it's more powerful than you are, and it's everywhere. There's a Simpsons where Lisa tries real Indian food made by Apu's mom, and Lisa says, I can see through time. Which I asked Frank the other day when he was vaping for the first time and taking pure, unadulterated nicotine into his lungs, and I said, Frank, can you see through time?
I can see through time.
So, go ahead.
I was going to say, my dad saw me vaping, and he is not a smoker. He used to be a smoker, and he's very anti-smoking, actually smoking cigarettes and stuff. But he saw my e-liquid and my new vaping technology, and he was amazed by it. And he was like, you know, that's a really creative thing. You know, that is the market. And he's got a PhD in economics.
He got it. And it really is the market, man. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's replacing smoking. You know, the government has spent billions of dollars over the decades, first proving that cigarette smoking was bad for you, which everybody who died from it already knew, then spending millions of dollars on educating people that smoking will kill you with one hand, while with the other hand, giving money to tobacco farmers, because that's how the government works. That's the logic of the non-market that is the government. Spent millions of dollars trying to get people to smoke, did things like raise the taxes of cigarettes to the point where, you know, a pack in New York City is like $13 under Bloomberg because he has a $7 city tax on each pack. You know, I was wondering, has anyone made the joke yet of his big soda ban of like, now all the sodas in New York are mini sodas?
I didn't even get that. No, it took me a while.
We talked about Minnesota recently, so yeah.
I don't think anybody said that joke. No.
Yeah.
No.
Minnesota is suddenly important in our lives. It's where GCN is. It's where one of the stations is. And actually, the new station we're getting on leaks a little bit into there. And we're crossing a bunch of state lines with the Fiends coming up soon here, and we already are.
I was in just a general group the other week at work, and we were having a pretty heated discussion, and that subject came up of the soda ban in New York, and somebody's argument against it was, hey, it didn't pass. Like, if all of a sudden that's not a tyranny. I tried to point out, I didn't get to get my word in edgewise there, but the reason the judge didn't let it continue or happen, actually, was he said because it was brought by the health board and not by the appropriate member of the government to do it. So that all that means is that, you know, the actual thing that has the decision-making process is then going to do that. And then in a few months or a few years, you'll have the same thing. You know, that's the problem with the state is when the people say no or when a judge says no, it's just a few months or a few years until that thing happens again.
Or they do it anyway. I mean, the perfect example is SIPA and POPA. No, POPA and SIPA. What are they?
CISPA.
CISPA and PIPA. So, yeah, they sound like a delicious Mexican food, but it's actually horrible bills aimed at taking over your internets. And they didn't pass, but, you know, a couple months, everybody protested. And the government people said, you know, the congressman basically said, oh, if I vote yes on this bill, I'm going to get voted out by these internet weenies, by these darn kids, these meddling kids with their computers. I would have gotten away with it if it weren't for these meddling kids. So, you know, they don't put that bill. The bill doesn't pass. It doesn't go. Whatever happens, it gets killed. And people go, yay. And they post blogs and Facebook things of we won. We changed the internet. We got involved. And then a couple months later, it just turns out, oh, they're spying on your internets anyway and tapping all your phones. And now it's legal.
Yeah.
You know, and nothing was passed or voted on. So that kind of stuff doesn't work. What really works is learning about the non-aggression principle and telling two friends, and they'll tell two friends, and they'll tell two friends. And it sounds like a long shot, like, oh, is that going to save the world? That's your plan? I've talked to people who think that, like, you need to be a great rifleman, and that's how we're going to bring this country back to purity. And I've talked to people who believe that, who also believe in voting. And, like, you know, it's a good thing to be a good rifleman, but it's not going to save you. There's not going to be an American Revolution. There's going to be 1,000 ruby ridges if you try that plan, and you're going to get droned now. And that's not going to work. But the real plan, you know, my plan, our plan, the Fiend plan, is educating people about the non-aggression principle until the government just gets so useless that it drowns itself in the bathtub because no one loves it.
Right. Right.
And if anybody thinks, oh, that's a long shot, okay, what's your plan? What is your plan? You know, marching on D.C. with a bunch of rifles. That's about as likely as aliens hearing the Fiends and coming down and saving the world.
Yes.
Same thing with voting to change things. Same thing with any of the other plans anyone has. The only way you can change something is by reducing and eliminating the demand for it. And teaching people the non-aggression principle is reducing the demand for it. You know, they can't reduce the demand for cigarettes. They've spent billions of dollars trying. They've tried coercing people, rewarding people, taxing people, punishing people. And cigarettes were bigger than ever until e-vape cigarette, you know, non-cigarette vaping devices came along. I can't leave the house without seeing kids, not kids, but, you know, young people, 18 to, you know, 80, smoking these, vaping on these things. They're everywhere, man.
I was at a bar last night, and there were more people in the bar with the vapes, vaping in the bar, than there were people going outside to smoke traditional cigarettes. Because people don't want to go outside. They want to stay where they are. They want to watch their beer and play their pool. And so what it does is it kills all those birds with one vape, is really what it does. And yeah, you're right. It solves the problem. You know, there's that meme on Facebook going around that it's got a little picture of a flash drive, you know, USB flash drive, and it says, this has saved more trees than Greenpeace ever could have hoped to.
Excellent. Yeah, man, the market.
And all it is, yeah, exactly. An entrepreneur saw something that could be fixed. They saw a need that people had, and by introducing a product, they reduced the demand for raw resources. And now that you're not taking those raw resources for paper, then the whole world becomes richer. It's a net gain for the whole world's economy, as well as a net gain for individuals, because it's a lot of work to print out paper, and it's a lot of cost to buy paper every day, all day. You know, think about how much paper companies used to go through, and there's much less of that cost now. So they can pass that savings on to the consumer. They can put those savings in research and development, come out with better products. This is a good microcosm of an example of why freedom and markets work to the make market, us all richer rather than exploiting us.
When libertarians say the market would take care of it, statists say, oh, that sounds like magic. It sounds like the market. You're saying, oh, we'll sprinkle fairy dust on it. But no, the market isn't magic. The market, I mean, it is kind of magic in how it works, but it's very easy to explain. The market is people cooperating for one thing one person wants and something the other person wants in a free voluntary exchange without intervention. That's the market, and that's not magic.
Right.
And all these things that we're listing, you know, e-cigarettes replacing tobacco, USB drives replacing paper. Those are things that the government tried to replace paper for years with initiatives and orders and laws and bribes and taxes, and they didn't do it. And the USB drive came along, and people are like, paper? Who needs that, man? This thing can hold the library. Yeah. You know, this thing can hold everything I'll ever write in my life in my pocket. And it's $5 on now.
Exactly. You can find them in the dollar bin at Target, I bet, now.
You can buy Hello Kitty ones. Hello Kitty USB drives. Yeah.
We'll be back from the market soon.
To talk about Glenn Beck and why he's wrong.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Howdy, I'm Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker podcast. I'll teach you the difference between the government and the state, why the government is nothing without the state, and how to dissolve the state while remaining peaceful and even calm. I knew the state was a losing proposition decades before that was cool. Check out the Bad Quaker podcast at badquaker.com. We have a forum, and it's got gardening tips. That's BADQUAKER.com.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Yeah. So I was telling Nima not to talk about cat's butts on the air.
Yeah.
And now we're on the air. Yes. So.
Yes, talk about chutzpahs.
I was saying that we have a quota of we need one incredible feisty rant each per show, but we just did a joint rant, not a rant about joints, but a feisty joint rant. We have met our quota, and now we can just talk about cats. But we're not going to talk about cats. We're going to talk about something.
If you would like to hear us talking about joint rants, if you'd like to hear our joint rants, then go watch our movie Guns and Weed, which is being aired right now publicly at some city. What it starts with a P, right?
It's the Pennsylvania Libertarian Party convention. They are showing it, and we're doing a Skype question and answer right after, like 20 minutes after the show, live to a group of Pennsylvania libertarians. Unfortunately, I don't think that's broadcast, but Ben Stone is there in person, the Bad Quaker, and so is Larkin Rose. It's kind of weird that the libertarians had these two non-voting, the Libertarian Party invited these two non-voting people to come there. I guess they're going to tell them not to vote. They're going to say, or our theory is actually that I said to you that they would vote to dissolve the Libertarian Party, and you said, no, they won't vote. They'll just dissolve at the end of it.
They'll just leave. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it's so funny that the Libertarian Party still exists because as people get more and more principled, they decide that voting and political action is not the true way to save the country. It's not about getting your people elected so that they can work hard and toil for years and years and years, because that has never worked. History has shown us that the state is where the power hungry go to get more power. It's not where the people who want to reduce power are ever successful.
The Libertarian Party was a great idea 30 years ago when it started, but it should have dissolved about 20 years ago. And basically, the problem with it as an organization is that the more of a libertarian you become, the less you want to be a member of a party. So it is self-fulfilling prophecy that the Libertarian Party will dissolve, because the more principled you come, the more you realize government does really bad things no matter what it does. So how can you have the theory of the government doesn't do things well, so the government should only do really important things, which is what the Libertarian Party believes and what small government constitutionalist Republicans believe. Now, my problem, too, with people that call themselves conservatives, there are some real conservatives out there, but a lot of people who say, I'm a real conservative, are incredibly pro-war and incredibly pro-war on drugs. Now, if you are conservative even from a more, if you don't even take the moral standpoint of those two wars are immoral, of the wars over there and the more, you know, the war on drugs, they're both totally immoral. So, but even if you don't take that tack on it, if you only take the fiscal tack on it, if you're a real conservative, you should not be into the war on drugs because it is spending so much money. And if you're a gun owner, you should not be into the war on drugs because the war on drugs is what arms the police that are going to take away your guns. And, you know, I'm not saying that you shouldn't go after someone who kills all your people, but, you know, SEAL Team 6 could do that. You don't need the whole military acting like the police of the world everywhere. Right. That is not conservative.
You don't need to clear, hold, and build or do nation building. I mean, really, if you're a conservative and you're against big government, why expand the government by going and trying to create other governments that are beholden to you in other parts of the world? That's just bigger government, isn't it?
Yeah. So an example, Glenn Beck. We're going to talk about Glenn Beck, a guy who says he's one of the true conservatives. Now, let's talk about something that's wrong with Glenn Beck, and it's not what's wrong with him about as a conservative, but what's wrong with him as a talk show host and why he should take his millions of dollars, gently step aside, retire, go hang out with his family, and let the Freedom Fiends take his slots on all those radio stations. Let's read this little bit. He won an award.
He sure did at the Talkers Convention. And this is from an article, according to the AP, David Botter, the AP's television writer. And he says, a reflective Glenn Beck said Thursday he regrets that some of his fiery opinions caused division in the country over the last several years. He wasn't fully aware of the perilous times and people, quote, at each other's throats, said the conservative radio host, who accepted a First Amendment award from Talkers Magazine, so the trade publication for the industry.
So he wins an award for being the best, feistiest talker, and then his acceptance speech is apologizing for being a feisty talker. What is with that, man? And basically, I think it's about advertising dollars. I think he's trying to have his cake and eat it, too. I think he's trying to be the guy who stirs the pot, but then says, I'm sorry I stirred the pot. You should still buy ads with me. Now, this is why Freedom Fiends want to maintain our amateur status so we can compete in the talking Olympics. And I'm not saying we're not going to ever make money at this, but we don't mind keeping our day jobs and still doing this because we want to take ads we want to take. We don't want to be beholden. We don't want to have to be a puss-puss cat and say, I'm sorry I was feisty. We want to be beyond feisty and still do what we want to do. And if that means delivering pizzas or installing TVs or writing owner's manuals for remote controls that I have to translate from Chinglish into English, then we'll do that, man, because we're the fiends.
Right. We'll be back from the market after this.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
You.
Freedom Fiends. Freedom Fiends, now with extra anti-tyranny.
It is Freedom Fiends live. Yes, you already know it is Saturday, June 8th. But I'm going to tell you anyway, and we've got me, Nima Vidotti. We've also got Michael W. Dean sipping on a soda.
Sipping on something stronger than a soda. And I don't mean alcohol. Ooh. I mean, I'm drinking a Starbucks refreshing strawberry lemonade with extra caffeine. It's kind of like a energy drink from Starbucks, but without that weird drug that they put into energy drink that makes your heart feel like it's going to explode.
You know, when I was in high school, I was a power lifter sophomore year. And what we were all fond of doing when we'd go to competitions and meets is there's this thing called Ultimate Orange. And it was ephedra. It was powdered ephedra. And we would mix it into, you know, a Gatorade bottle with just some water in it and chug it like right before we'd go lift. And it'd just give you that boost of energy.
Yeah.
That I think it'd be, the FDA you, like man. Banned it like a year or two later.
See, yeah. I don't even need the FDA to ban that because I tried that. When I got sober, I was like, well, let's see, what can I take that's not drugs and I can still call myself sober? And I got ephedra like diet pills at the gas station or something. And I took,
mini thins?
Like,
were they mini thins?
I don't know, man, but they made me want to put things in special places that I shouldn't. That's like something that speed would do back in the day. So, you know, not that I ever did that, but, you know, I've watched Breaking Bad. So, yeah, that's it. I know how things work.
Okay.
I've been sober since 94, by the way, if anyone's asking. But, yeah.
Congratulations. I've been sober since 4 months ago.
Yeah.
Congratulations to me. Although, and I went to a bar last night and did not drink and watched everybody and was like, man, watched a bar fight almost happen and was like, man, you know, I'm not missing much, am I?
Although, if you really want to make it in talk radio, don't you have to get addicted to painkillers? That's what worked for Rush, wasn't it?
No, I don't think that.
Which
that,
is
that
ironic
came
because
first.
he was so anti drugs. You know, he's a drug warrior. He's a all them drug dealers should be thrown on an island and then they should nuke it. He was saying that while he was high as heck, man. Irony. We're trying to start pod beef with radio people here because it's more interesting, but they don't even know who we are. We're like the little dog nipping at their heels. But, you know, in about 5 years, Glenn Beck is going to be our board op. Now, Glenn Beck in 5 years hopefully will be retired and spending time with his family and making room for the fiends to be on all them stations. So we're going to talk about...
He can have a daily segment on our show. It'll be called The 2 Minutes Cry, where Glenn Beck will cry and make you want to cry.
And then we'll laugh at it. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and why is that guy worried about being beholden to his advertisers? Because he, like, literally has enough money that you and I and our wives could retire, and your family, and, you know, all the kids you want to have could, like, 10 times over could live comfortable lives. So...
Right. Well, that's why when you say, you know, we're okay with keeping our day jobs. I think it's okay to say we're okay with it, but I don't think that if you do it completely exclusively that you're necessarily beholden to your advertisers. I mean, there's a lot of advertisers out there. There's a lot of people and a lot of diverse interests and a lot of ones that are principled libertarians as well. I mean, for instance, look at Alex Jones. Alex Jones is not doing poorly. He's doing really well. And he doesn't really temper what he says at all, does he?
No. And I want to salute the brave program directors who were the first people to take us. And not that there's other ones listening that I need to convince or anything, but, you know, there will be people in a few years who will be saying proudly and correctly on their websites and in their press kits, we were one of the first stations that took the Freedom Fiends. I've seen that about Rush Limbaugh. I've seen stations who say, and we were one of the first stations who took Rush Limbaugh. And, you know, the people are going to say that about the Fiends. I actually had a really interesting irony the other day. Was I was making calls and it was the day I booked the 25,000 watt station that we're starting on tomorrow. And that same day, like that same hour, like after that was confirmed and he'd faxed the things in and like made all the arrangements. Like an hour later, I was talking to some guy who has a 660 watt station who basically said, I've never heard of you guys. Why should I bother with you? And then he said, well, you know, I said, okay, I'll take you off our list. Thanks for being straight up with me. And he said, well, if you guys ever get famous, give me a call back and I'll book you. And I like, and he said, all right, later, and hung up. And I was like, my jaw was dropped. It was one of those like, shut up, Becky, where I had the thing to say afterwards, which was basically, I was in music and I was signed to a major label. And I talked to people in that industry and had insider information. And here's some insider information. There were four or five people at four or five major labels who saw Nirvana, went and saw them play in clubs, you know, could have signed them, didn't sign them. And then Nirvana hit and got huge. And those people got fired for not signing Nirvana. And I don't think anybody's going to get fired for not signing the Fiends, because a lot of times it's the station owner, you know, and they make their own decisions. But They won't get fired. The market will fire them because they will refuse to book things like The Fiends and keep booking things like the whiny old crying fake conservatives who say, we're conservative and we need to keep the war on drugs, and don't realize the irony in that, and say, we need to vote in the right people, you know, while while everything's changing around them. It's kind of like people who said, we need to pass laws to keep horse and buggy whip manufacturers in business while the car was taking over the world. Okay, that's the people turning down The Fiends. And the brave people, the brave program directors who are programming The Fiends and taking them on and being the first adopters, those are the people that are going to survive in the changes that are coming to radio. And the people who don't, they're just going to go by the wayside, man. They won't get fired. They will just, their station will become irrelevant and less people will advertise with them and people will move to the internet. And so I salute.
Well, I like how you said the market will fire them. That is such a good concept, because that's also the solution for, you know, left liberals who say things like, well, without the government, you have giant corporations tyrannizing everybody and you'd still have tyranny. No, the market would fire those people. If there was a market for freedom and the lack of tyranny, not only would the market fire the government, but then the market would fire anybody who acted like the government as well.
Yep. But to those brave program directors, those five brave program directors who've taken The Fiends the first couple weeks, I just want to say to them, I thank you for your service and you're doing the right thing.
Yes. Yeah. Amen. Excellent rant number two.
Yep.
Good job,
so,
Michael.
Let's talk about the government doing things wrong. Let's talk about, maybe the government doesn't always do things wrong, but they do it so often that, and you know, the funny thing is people that like the government love stories about the government doing things wrong. Like, look what those clowns. There's actually a Simpsons where they show in a talk radio station in the studio and they talk about the shock jocks being replaced by something called the DJ 3000, which is actually kind of a thing, because a lot of stations did a thing before with music stations where they would have a DJ in one location syndicating to a bunch of locations and adding like quippy local humor that would only go in that one place. Like, but they had the DJ 3000 being demonstrated, showing its witty banter. And one of the witty banters was, look what those clowns in Congress have done this week. What a bunch of clowns. And Homer says, how does it keep up with the news like that?
Exactly. Exactly. So here's what some clowns in the executive branch did.
Oh, it was FEMA.
To show that
it was
can't
FEMA.
Trust them.
It was
that's
FEMA,
the
man.
Branch.
Is it?
That's
is it even a branch?
Thing.
I don't know, man. It's
it's part of the umbrella of the executive branch. The executive branch is not just the president.
It's the paper
the
goons.
Cabinets.
It's the bureaucrats. Or as I called them, paper goons. And Scott Beezer made a joke about, no, it's pay per goon. Like, you got to pay for him. And I said, no, that's
like
those
pay-per-view.
That's those TV shows where they got the cops knocking down doors and
So no, all those things like FEMA, Homeland Security, they're the enforcement wing, which is what the executive branch is. They enforce these regulations,
but not
they
the FCC. We love
themselves.
The FCC. The FCC are wonderful. Okay, so go on.
Okay, I'll go on. Emergency alert for cell phones PSA violates FCC regulations is the headline. I'll go on to the body. Talkers, columnist, and broadcast engineer Tom Ray of Tom Ray Consulting reports a public service announcement touting emergency alerts sent to cell phones that some stations may be airing violates FCC regulations. Ray tells Talkers, quote, a PSA was released today about the emergency alerts you can receive on your cell phone. It uses the EAS two-tone alert. Airing the PSA would be a blatant violation of FCC regulation 47 CFR 11.45, which specifically prohibits the use of the EAS code burst or the two-tone alert signal unless they are transmitted as part of an actual EAS alert or EAS test. And according to the Ad Council website, this very PSA is sponsored by FEMA. Shame on them. They should know better. End quote. Ray advises stations to not air the PSA.
So basically, this is a really good example of the government being a dinosaur thrashing in the tar pits or a dinosaur chewing on its own tail while it's going extinct. And they said that dinosaurs, some big ones like brontosaurus, brontosauruses, were so big and stupid that literally they could be chewing on their own tail and trying to eat it and not know it. And that's and it's also a really good example of there's too many laws, because there's so many laws that a government agency who's in charge of administering those laws is in violation of laws from a closely related agency that it's coordinating with, and it doesn't know that it's chewing on its own tail while it's doing it. It's a perfect example of bureaucracy and why it fails and why the market could take care of these things better.
Right, right. So one agency puts out a PSA that blatantly asks or is blatantly violates the regulation of another agency. There's, you know, another example we used to bring up.
But they're in coordination with that agency. It's not like, you know, somebody in some other part of the country. It's like FEMA and the FCC work in conjunction with each other. But in this case, they issued something. Basically, it's tones that set systems into motion. Like when those tones are played over the radio, it triggers automatic things in the radio stations to do something, to take some action, to like, you know,
to go into emergency broadcasting mode.
And they made these ads that says when you hear these tones, but they weren't the normal like tone they have once a week. It was a tone that triggers the emergency broadcast system.
Well, it reminds me of how FEMA and Homeland Security put out directives saying, hey, you know, you should be prepared for emergencies. Go stock up on food. Make sure you have plenty of water. You know, basically stock yourself so you can be self-sufficient in an emergency for a few weeks.
And now they arrest you for those things.
Yeah. At the same time, Homeland Security says that's something to keep an eye out for, as people going to stores and buying all these survival kits and survival supplies and keeping them in their basement. That's something you got to watch for. So at the same time they're saying do it, that they're saying keep an eye on those people that are doing it.
Yeah, the emergency broadcast system has been replaced by something now. It's called, what is it called now? It's the FEMA thing. I think it's mentioned in here, but it's the emergency, the EAS, I think is what it's called now. What is that? Yeah. Emergency alert system, which is more like the FEMA, be very, very frightened, and it's going to go to cell phones, not just to radio. We'll be back with more after we go to the market. We'll be back with the tweak and review.
Worms.
On Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Thank you, Fiends, for sticking all the way
thank you. This is Freedom Fiends Live. It is our last segment on Saturday, June 8th. And you know what that means?
Tweak
it's time
and
for
review.
The Freedom Fiends. Tweak and review! I don't have my reverb mixer, so gotta do that naturally out of the voice box there. So, let's get started. Number one, Obama says, "Hey, buddy, you can trust me. You can trust us." And it's just as hollow as like when Saddam Hussein says it in South Park. That was one of his things. He said, "Hey, buddy, you can trust me." No, we can't. We've seen that we can't. There's dozens, if not there's dozens and hundreds of examples just with this administration, thousands if you include everything the U.S. history. Federal government has done throughout its history. So those are very hollow words, Mr. Obama, just like it was hollow a few weeks back when you said, you know, should we be waterboarding people with inshore in Guantanamo when they're already cleared for release? Well, hey, buddy, it's you doing that. That statement is hollow. All right, so don't listen to what politicians say. They're liars, and you can't trust them, no matter
watch
who they
what
are.
They do, not what they say.
Yes, yes. All right, we'll go on to number two. Things like who would build the roads and what would happen without the state when we descend into a violent anarchy, those things are all akin to a catechism. There's something that people who have faith in the state rather than a higher power or whatever the natural order is, or even a deity, it's the same thing. So those things are nothing but a rote answer that is drilled into your head. So when somebody says, "Who builds the roads?" don't take that as a, "Oh yeah, you're right."
Catechism.
Understand that it's a catechism. Realize that they're misinformed or ignorant, and treat it like an educational opportunity. You don't have to get angry. You don't have to get violent or aggressive.
Catechism, like catechism, is from the ancient Greek, meaning to sound down, meaning down into the ears. But I like it to sound, to look down on someone with the sound. when people use it as a statist catechism, yes, they want to sound down at you.
Right. And back to the catechism, we'll continue on this sort of placing the faith in the state as the savior of all. Space aliens hearing the fiends and making us the libertarian emperors is not the answer. And neither
but
is placing your faith in...
But wouldn't it be nice? As Scott Horton said, a non-voter said, when I said, "What do you want Ron Paul to be president? I mean, you don't believe in politicians." He said, "Oh, wouldn't that be nice?" And he really meant it.
Right.
And, you know, that's my answer to, like, the aliens hearing the fiends on these 50,000 and 25,000 watt sticks, these flamethrowers into space and coming and saving us and making Nima, "Yo, what's up, my Nima?" Making Nima and I the emperors of the world. Of liberty.
Fantasy is a tool, just like a gun is a tool, right? It's how you use it. If you use the fantasy as a form of entertainment to make yourself feel better when you're feeling down, that's fine. Just don't use it as a way to inform your actions and your worldview.
It's also how you create the reality. You see what works in fantasy. I mean, cell phones look like the Star Trek communicators, at least until they removed the flip part of it. Yep. Because the original cell phones were designed by nerds who grew up watching Star Trek. So sci-fi and sci-fi becomes sci-fact, you know? And libertarian lib-fi, like Scott Beezer stuff, some of that will be implemented by the libertarian emperors of the world, backed by the aliens.
No, yeah, exactly. But that is the fantasy. You know, the reality is what we said about how, you know, e-cigarettes, they solve a social problem that the government tried for years and spent billions of dollars trying to solve, i.e. cutting down on traditional burning leaves and putting the smoke into your lungs. No, now people can get their nicotine that they crave and that they want and desire in a much less harmful way.
I can see through time.
Exactly. It came from an entrepreneur saying, "Hey, you know, people can't smoke inside. Maybe they don't want to burn up their lungs. I'll invent this thing. I'll invent a solution to the problem." The market took it. Now there are thousands of people who make e-liquid, e-cigarettes and sell them, and people buy them. It's a wondrous thing. And the last and final Fiend's tweak and review point is tied to that, right? The market is what will fire the government. The market is what will fire big government and the state. And then, okay, Mrs. Left Liberal and Mr. Left Liberal out there, the corporations that act like the government and cheat and lie and steal, those are also wrong, okay? So if the market realizes the non-aggression principle and realizes that the state does it, they will also realize when other giant corporations and entities are violating that principle, and the market will fire those companies too. And there will be plenty of entrepreneurs like the e-cig folks to be there to pull the weight and provide a product that people want that is peaceful and doesn't violate the NAP. So the market will fire the government, and the market will fire those giant corporations you all are so scared of. Stop being so scared and realize that natural order is order.
And if the government's so cool and powerful, it shouldn't worry about people criticizing it.
There you go. You're
listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFiends.com.
This is excellent.
Cool. You guys are getting it down. Nice.